नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Text number 12. Vidharmaha Vidharma Paradharmascha Abhasa Upama Chala Adharma Shakha Panchema धर्मज्ञो धर्मवत्यजेत. Translation: There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion or vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit: paradharma, pretentious religion, abhas, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion. Chala dharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Any religious principles opposed to the principle of surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are to be considered religious principles of irregularity or cheating. And one who is actually interested in religion must give them up. One should simply follow the instructions of Krishna and surrender unto him. To do this, of course, one needs very good intelligence, which may be awakened after many, many births through good association with devotees and practice of Krishna consciousness. Everything but the principle of religion recommended by Krishna, Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja, should be given up as irreligion. Om agyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha vidharma paradharmascha abhasa upama chalaha adharma shakha panchema dharmagyo adharma vatyajet. Translation: There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion or vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit: paradharma, pretentious religion, abhas, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, chaladharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. So Shripad Narad Muni is instructing the whole of human civilization as to how one must be very careful while practicing religiosity. Because religion is the state of law that has been established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world. Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam Dharmaha. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharmastu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Nitam, which has been established or which is to be followed, He has brought it in this world. So specially, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has brought religious principles in this world. Why does the Supreme Lord need to do so? Isn't everything Krishna's territory and domain? So why does He establish religious principles in this world? So although everything is Krishna's domain, still by His own supreme will, He has established this material universe. And within this material universe, those souls who are finding some difficulty in following Krishna's principles, they are given a chance. It is not a chance to practice religious principles, but a chance has been given to improve, to rectify, to correct oneself. So how does one correct oneself in a world or in the universe where Krishna has given a chance for us to seemingly be free from his codes or his codes of conduct? How can one practice? Because not even a blade of grass can move without the sanction of God. So does Krishna leave us without any hope? Or you go to this material universe and do as you want? That is not possible for the living entity. Eko bahunam yo vidhatati kaman. All our desires are simply being maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are being fulfilled by him. Where is the capacity that the living entity can do even one single activity or move even one muscle? Where is the capacity in the living entity to do that? Although the living entity is eternal, knowledge and bliss, but the capacity to carry out some activity is not within the living entity. That capacity has to be bestowed by Krishna. So how can the living entity, although Krishna allows the living entity to come into the material universe, how is it possible that the living entity can carry out any activity? Therefore, Krishna introduces religious principles in this material universe, his codes. But he does it in such a way that one is given the opportunity to freely make the choice of accepting the codes or rejecting it. Accept the codes and life of happiness here in this world and in the next world. But those who do not have sufficient faith that actually all acts are carried out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they try to find an alternative path. And any alternative path has been described here. 5 types. Vidharma, which means totally irreligion or opposite to religion. All the living entity can do is do something which is against that has been established. We do not even have the capacity to bring out our own new product. That also is not possible for us. So, if the rule is that you turn to the right, then vidharma means turn to the left. Any reason for that? What will it lead to? No idea. Why the activity is done? What is the purpose of the activity? And what is the goal to be achieved by that activity? No idea. It is simply being done out of deep envy. This is where we should be going. This is the law. We do just the opposite. And someone who does not want to be so overtly opposite or overtly anti-religious, they do it covertly. And what is covert forms? Paradharma abhas upamachala. These are the covert operations. Paradharma means trying to follow something which is not actually fit for one. In the name of religion, one tries to incorporate principles which are not actually fit, or in other words, which are not actually beneficial. And there are certain principles in this world which becomes where one, it is very difficult to establish what is real religion on our own, of our own. So therein is where paradharma comes about. Whether one should kill a human being or not, mercy killing should be allowed or not. Big discussion. So then there will be the pros, those who take the sides of paradharma. They will not follow the codes of religion, but they'll establish their own codes, which are actually unfit. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of someone going to the hospital and distributing sweets, not taking into consideration that someone, that one of the patients could be diabetic. So good, but it is unfit. Then upama. Or before that is abhas. Abhas means that which looks like religion. So all these khandas that go on, which appears to be very religious, trying to achieve the higher planetary systems, trying to achieve a better life next time, trying to get so many pious credits, mitigate one's sinful reactions. So much effort in that. Abhas. It looks like religion, but it is not religion. Upadharma, accepting sub-religious principles as religion. Be truthful, be kind, be compassionate. Unto whom? If there is a person who's suffering from disease and we give him some help, or a person who's poor, we give him or her some help. To what extent can we do that? Just on the platform of giving help, to what extent will the object of our helping nature be satisfied? How do we determine how much help we should be given? Someone who is poor, doesn't have clothes, one pair of shirts, a pair of shirt and pant, or one sari, is that sufficient? So comes this big religious person, and he's got this big stack of saris and big stack of shirt and pants. And they've already made arrangement to get all the people who do not have proper clothes to come and stand in line. Or they distribute even prasad. Not prasad, but they cook food and distribute to the hungry. To what extent can they do it? And how do they decide this is what this person needs? This is sufficient for this person. One sari is sufficient for this person. One kurta or one dhoti is sufficient for this person. How do we decide that? Are we really sure that will satisfy the object of our helping nature? Will satisfy that personality? So this is upadharma, and people glorify this as real religion. Don't worship God. What is the use of worshipping God? Better than that, use your time in trying to do all this. Not that we are trying to criticize this. What we are saying is this should not be propagated as dharma. It is upadharma or sub-religious principles. And finally is chala. Chala means cheating religion. Actually, all of this, with all of these first four, are to some extent cheating religion. But chala is overtly cheating religion. One practices religion to cheat oneself and cheat others. Actually, one thinks one is going to cheat the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That example of a man who was praying to God, please get my buffalo sold, I'll donate half to you. Whatever the price. So the buffalo is sold for $50,000. Or 50,000 rupees, sorry. I have to readjust myself a little. For 50,000 rupees, the buffalo is sold. Oh my God, 25,000 has to be given to God. Not very good. So what is the proposal? He tells his customer, you have to buy the rope for 50,000 rupees and the buffalo for 1 rupee. Does it matter to the customer? It doesn't matter. The customer says, all right. So the customer takes the buffalo and the rope for 5,001. But it matters to one. Why? Because now one has to give only 50 paisa to God. Because the promise was made, I will give half of whatever I earn from selling the buffalo. There was nothing. In smaller print, it was not that written that if the rope, half price will be given. No. So why? What is the basis of one trying to give up? Practicing that which has been established by Krishna. It is desire to try to be away from Krishna and enjoy separately. That is the Ichha. And there is a deep envy. If there was only Ichha, after some time we would have come to our senses. It doesn't Like a boy who runs away, or an adolescent actually, runs away from home, after some time understands it's not possible to make it in the world outside. Better go back home, share with the father's property, do some of our duties, and we'll be safe. So if only this ichha was there, this desire was there, that let us try to enjoy separately from Krishna, at least we had a chance. At least all the living entities had a chance that they could, when the goings really went tough, we could actually become humble enough and say, Krishna, sorry, we want to come back. But this deep-rooted envy that is there, dvesha, that doesn't allow us to take shelter of Krishna. Anyone else except Krishna. Not him. We gave up being in association of him so that we would never have to serve him again. Why should I again go back to Krishna? And another reason for the deep envy is I want to enjoy as much as Krishna is enjoying. In the seventh canto, right before this, is the story of Prahlad Maharaj. And there Prahlad Maharaj is simply amazed that why can't the living entities understand that trying to be away from Krishna is not the way to be selfish. Real selfishness is to be with Krishna. If one really wants to enjoy and be happy, then just be with Krishna. That is real selfishness. That is the epitome of selfishness. That is real swarth. Such a person is actually being swarthy. Because that person is going after what is very much desired by one, that which can really satisfy one. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Dur ashaya. Somehow or the other, they have faith in everything else. It's just amazing how the living entity in this material world has faith in all the fallen soldiers of this world. Those that are definitely going to fall. There's no doubt about it. Friends, relatives, money, property, everything is going to be either destroyed or it will be gone from our possession. And it is not because Krishna is saying so. It is just the practical way this world runs. Still, it is really amazing how much faith we have. The living entity has so much faith. The quality of faith is so deeply rooted within the living entity. It is just being misplaced. Where is it being misplaced? Durashaya. Bahirartha. Instead of suartha, it is being this ashaya, this asha or this hope is being pinned on bahirartha. That which is external. Try to imagine. You build a house. Is it because you live external to the house or internal in the house? You want to stay outside the house or within the house? Why did we build the house? To show it to others? This is a nice house, you know, nice facade outside. But when we go behind, there are no other walls, just one wall. Is that a house? No. Why do we build a house? To be inside, not outside. We have clothes, right? We want to be outside of the clothes or inside of the clothes? Generally speaking, please. Sometimes people may want to be outside of the clothes. But why are clothes there for? To be within the clothes, not outside of the clothes. Isn't it? Happiness is within, not without. That which is external does not give us satisfaction or happiness. So bahir artha, or being bahir mukha, being external or away from Krishna, facing away from Krishna is not a very satisfying situation. So, this ichha and dvesh, the desire to be an independent enjoyer and deep-rooted envy for Krishna's opulences or his supremacy, makes a living entity do something really very interesting. And till the time we are all purified, this interesting characteristic stays with us. each one of us, those who are not aware of the philosophy, they unknowingly do it, and those who are aware of the philosophy may justify philosophically why they're doing it. The deep-rooted desire in this material world is to do something different from everything else. To be that one person who does something exceptional from everything else which has never been done before. And this desire is so strong. The way we put tilak maybe, the way we wear a dress maybe, the way maybe we speak, the way we interact, the way we do a business, the way we take care of a family. Something different. That which has never been established before. There's this joke about a man who said, God, I don't need your help. I will do my own things. So what are you going to do? So I'll create. How will you create? What will you create? I'll create a planet. Okay, so what do you need for the planet? I need some earth. So where are you going to get the earth from? Oh, I'll borrow some from somewhere. And God goes, no, sorry, that's my property. What else do you need for a planet? Water. That also you cannot take. That's again my property. What else do you need? Some air. That also is my property. So what does a living entity do? How can one create something? But the desire to create something which has not been done before is really deep-rooted in the living entity. Unfortunately, the living entity does not realize that one has to seek help. One has to borrow from God's property. And we do it in such a way that we say, there is no God, there is no one who owns this property, it is all by chance. Or as I said, philosophically we may justify, Krishna doesn't mind. After all, we'll practice karma yoga, we'll use it now and later on we'll give it to Krishna. The path that Prahlad Maharaj has offered unto his father. At my dear father, if at all we want to become free from the desire to act separately or have a separate interest, which is called as material sense gratification, then the only path is Mahiyasam pad rajobhishekam nishkinchananam navrinitayavat. Mahiyasam. That is the only path. Somehow or the other, follow or take shelter of those who have already done it. Mahajana yena gataha sapantha, following in the path of the great souls. There's nothing new we can do. It is a disaster plan to do something new in this world. And as long as that deep desire does not go to be different from everyone, not in the sense of our individuality, we are definitely, everyone is individual, but to do something that will leave a mark in this world, that people will remember, this was this great personality who did something new, something different, is actually the result of Ichha plus Dvesh. You combine Ichha and Dvesh, these two chemicals, and the resultant product is trying to be someone exceptional, trying to be someone really very great. Not just great, but someone who's, there's no comparison. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. So one has to be very careful about this subtle characteristic that all of us are carrying. Soche tato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Prahlad Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, he says, I feel compassionate when I see people carrying this big burden of maya sukha. As far as I am concerned, Prahlad Maharaj, he speaks so simply. Sometimes his words are so simple, we just miss it. It flashes past us and we think, oh, again the same instruction, huh? All right, I know this.
Prabhupada Maharaj says, my dear Lord, I am not at all fearful of this material world. Na udvije. Fear cannot be born within my heart. Ja, this word is so significant. He says, there cannot be any birth of fear. Now, fear is a natural companion of the living entity right when the living entity leaves the spiritual world. How is Prahlad saying that? Prahlad Maharaj saying that there is no fear will never be born within my heart. Kustvad virya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Your qualities are exceptional. Your activities are exceptional. And I am constantly meditating on your activities. My meditation is not to do something different in this world. Meditating on the Lord's activities is a safe path. As a young boy, Uddhava would just meditate on the pastimes of Krishna. He would have dolls of Krishna and Balaram. He would feed them, he would enact the activities, imitating them. Jiva Goswami, similarly, as a young child, he had the small dolls of Krishna and Balaram. Worship them. How would you know all the pastimes? We know Nityananda Prabhu as a young boy of 10 or 11, when he would just do his pastimes, people of Ekchakra would ask him, my dear Nityananda, how do you know these pastimes? And Nityananda would smile. Nityananda Ram would smile and say, because they are my pastimes. How does Jiva know? As a young boy, how does he know the various pastimes of Krishna and Balaram? He takes Krishna and Balaram and dresses them with flowers and all the dresses, leaves, and then takes them and takes them into the forest. How does this young boy know? Because somehow or the other, this young boy has been so much influenced by the activities of his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. He sees these grown-up adults. And they are doing the same activities. They are arranging festivals for Krishna and Balaram. They are arranging festivals for Radha and Krishna. They in fact make kunds. Just like children, they sometimes ask their parents, can we have some small dishes, some small vessels? And then they sit down with their vessels and they take a small vati, a bowl. And they say, this is Radha Kund, this is Shyam Kund. Rupa and Sanatan are almost doing the same thing. Their capacity is much more. So they dig up holes in the ground and establish Radha Kund, Shyam Kund. They take out Radha and Krishna on their Nauka Vihar, boat pastimes, like children do. Have you seen our children? Parents have seen their children? Children take out their dolls for their marriage, visiting friends. Rupa and Sanatan were engaged in which appeared to be similar activities. What are those activities? Those activities were constant meditation of the eternal activities of Radha and Krishna. Tvad virya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. So when we follow in the footsteps of the great souls, then slowly the desire to enact out the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, to make arrangements for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in this material body, in this material consciousness, allows us to have favorable impressions. That is why there are so many festivals that we celebrate. In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada makes it one of the 64 principles. One of the principles is to celebrate festivals like Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Ram Navami. Why? Because then we'll forget the stock market, we'll forget the depressions and the recessions, which are creating so much impression on our consciousness. There are powerful impressions of festivals where Radha and Krishna are in the center, where Krishna and Balaram are the center. And what are they doing? Boat pastimes. They're simply going in a boat. And if we can meditate on that, how the waves, the poets like Bhakti Vinod Thakur and others are writing poems about each single wave that is rocking the boat. That is their meditation. And they sometimes The devotees go into such deep meditation, they participate in the meditation. It no longer remains just, you know, externally Ban Ganga with boat festival, but they participate in that. Like that, NOD mentions the Brahmana at Pratishthanpur. He was in so much deep meditation, preparing the rice, sweet rice for the Lord. He just wanted to see whether it was cold enough or not. And just see simplicity. Brahmana means simplicity. He has done with all principles of cleanliness. But how does he check out whether sweet rice is hot, sufficiently cold or not? He puts his finger in it. Why? Because if his finger can sustain the heat, the tongue of Krishna can definitely do it. The tongue is much more delicate than the finger. If he had touched the external vessel, it wouldn't have given him the correct idea. So he puts his finger in the sweet rice. That if it falls on the tongue of Narayan, is it cold enough? But not very cold, but sufficiently cold enough that it will not burn his tongue. And what happens? His finger gets burnt. He comes out of his meditation and his finger is actually burnt. This is called tad virya gayana, trying to virya gayan. Krishna's activities are so glorious. They're so glorious. Every day Krishna has, we sing the bhajan. He eats so many items. There's Dhanishta Sakhi there. There's Radharani there. The gopis are there. Mother Jashoda is there. All of them in our meditation. And there's Luchi, Chini, Sharpuri. All these items are there. That is his Virya Gayan. Virya Gatha. Not just Krishna's very macho activities. Activities where he performs something very powerful. But this is also Virya Gatha. And if we do not develop a taste for this Virya Gatha, it is but natural that we will develop taste for power, wealth, money in this world. It is but natural. Why? Because these things give us an opportunity to be different. And this world therefore affects us so much. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, when he received one coin, he was sitting on Bihari, his servant, because he was so old. He was bent down and someone offered him one rupiah, one coin of one rupee. He went for 12 miles. After some time, he told Bihari, turn back, find that man again. And they somehow or the other found that donor. And Jagannath Mamaji asked Bihari to give him that money back. And he says, my dear sir, 12 miles, it was so difficult for me to carry this weight. I cannot even imagine how you can carry the weight of much more coins. Why is that? Because all these Babajis, all of these great devotees, all they want in life is just follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and meditate on the pastimes of Krishna, chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada concludes this by saying, everything but the principle of religion recommended by Krishna should be given up as irreligion. Very powerful statement. Everything. And he quotes the verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Prabhupada quotes this verse in so many different contexts. And every time it's an eye-opener. Because it opens up another aspect of a desire to be the independent enjoyer. I was coming back on the plane, night time. This is very recent in my mind. Therefore, one very nice man comes up to me, very nice. He stays in Leicester, UK. We have a temple there, so he says, Hare Krishna. So I look up, oh, Hare Krishna. By now, we have come from the night zone into the day zone, so all the shutters are up, there's daylight. So he's very happy to see a devotee, or at least someone who looks like a devotee. So he's very happy to see that. So he starts, wants to talk. So where do you stay? Do you stay in Bombay? So on, the formalities are over. And then he says, I was looking out of the window. So he says, can you see Krishna somewhere playing his flute? Now he's asked in a very innocent way. His idea is that this is how we can be Krishna conscious. Good for him. But for me, I took it as, for myself, it's very dangerous to try to imagine that Krishna, yes, Krishna is everywhere. Krishna can play his flute everywhere. But I don't have the eyes to see that. And if I think I have the eyes to see that, or if I think that, yes, Krishna could be playing the flute somewhere outside, then I would be deviating from what the Acharya has given us. Right now, I don't have the sight for that. It would make me different from all my devotee associates in the ashram. It would make me different from all the community of devotees, because I would be the person who looks out of the window and sees Krishna playing on the flute. And the desire to do that, to be that independent observer, the one and only person, I have no adhikar for it. No qualification. But the desire is so strong. The reply, yes, Krishna is there, or Krishna is definitely there. Strong. But because I was coming back to the strong association of the devotees of Radha Gopinath, I knew I have to be very careful. So I had this one devotee had given me a camera that you can, you know, maybe take some nice photographs of all the deities and get it back for us. So from the plane I took some shots and I said, let me show you something about Krishna's energy. This is how Krishna is present outside. And we're flying over Middle East, and there was this tall mountains. Tall. From the plane, they appeared to be very close. I could see the peaks clearly. There was no trees on them because it was desert. Clearly see, this was quite high up from the sea level, and these mountains are very tall, really. Must be the Hindu Kush mountains, I guess. I said, this is Krishna's energy. Just see. We are flying so high, but here, Krishna has established a mountain which naturally reaches up high enough. It is natural for the mountain to do that. If we can appreciate Krishna's beauty through that which is observable, then we'll try to not fall into the trap of reaching out for someone that we do not have the adhikar for, do not have the qualification for. At the same time, we should not be so much careful that when we are given a chance through the eyes of pure devotees to see it, then we become cynical. And sometimes the cynical attitude is so much. We fear to trust the fact that Krishna could be present somewhere. So when the pure devotees, when they make this fact present, they present this fact to us, a cynical attitude is like, are they sentimentalists? We start to judge them. It would be very easy to judge this man on the plane. Oh, what a fool he is. You know, he takes things so cheaply, so sentimental. Well, he's trying his best according to his adhikar or his platform to try to understand Krishna. Everyone else is in deep ignorance on the plane. At least this person, according to his platform, is doing it. But we, according to the platform that we are, since our eyes have been opened up by knowledge, we are careful not to fall into that trap. Every step we have to be careful about that. How? How can we be careful in this material world? Prahlad Maharaj previously makes that. Tvad virya gayanamat mahamrita magna chitta. Somehow or the other we have to get that taste. Right now it is a struggle. The taste in the holy name or the taste in the scriptures. We only like to read. After so many years in Krishna consciousness, still we have our choices in terms of what we like and what we dislike. Individuality could mean we like this more and we like this also. But this we like more. There's perfect, more perfect, most perfect in the spiritual world. But material consciousness is duality. I only like this and we don't like that. So,
we are very fortunate that we have somehow or the other received the knowledge. Now it is just time separating us from the realization. If we can become, if we are enthusiastic and determined, then the affairs of this material world will be happening around us, but we are no longer affected by it. And the reason is, we don't want to be different. We just want to follow in the footsteps of at least one of the great personalities, if not few of them, at least one of them. Like Srila Prabhupada, we can follow in his footsteps and try to be Krishna conscious through associating with devotees, taking the process of Krishna consciousness seriously every moment, every day, taking a stock of it and trying to become more sincere and serious and determined in reaching our goal. Whatever it takes, this lifetime, Srila Prabhupada said, this lifetime. To conclude, Srila Prabhupada would warn, and this warning is not just for his disciples, but for all his followers. Please don't change anything. My greatest fear is that my disciples may change something. They may introduce some new concept. So before we do that, it is better that we refer back to Shastra and discuss with other devotees. If there is something that is a little bit different, let us discuss with the devotees and save us from the danger of one of these five irreligious categories. Vidharma or irreligion, Paradharma, religious principles for which one is unfit, Abhas, pretentious religion, Upadharma, analogical religion, Chaladharma, cheating religion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaura Premanande. So, please remember to break your Ekadashi fast for those who haven't done it. There's still time. Haribol.